Interview with Staff Sergeant Lita Oldham from Frankfort, Kentucky. Date is December 9th, 2002. We are at the Kentucky History Center. The interviewer is Mike Jones from the Kentucky Historical Society. Ms. Oldham, when and where were you born?
I was born in Frankfort, Kentucky in 1967, October 5th.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister.
Older, younger?
She's a younger sister.
Did you attend schools here in Frankfort, and which, if so, which ones?
I attended all schools here. I attended high school at Frank County and graduated Kentucky State University.
Okay. What was your first knowledge of the military? When did you first know about it? What was your first experience? Did you have older relatives in the military?
I had an uncle that was in the military. I don't really have a lot of family members that really have a background as far as military is concerned. I know that my uncle had went to Vietnam. That's the only real military.
Okay. When did you first become interested in the military?
It was in 1989. I was kind of like needed a change in my life, and in order to do that, I had to kind of like go in a whole different direction, and I felt that the military could provide that for me at that time.
What year did you finish? You graduated from high school?
I graduated high school in 1986, so okay. It was like 3 years late.
Okay. Did you know what you wanted to do when you got going into the military? What skill you wanted to learn, or what you wanted to do, or did you go in open?
I pretty much went in open, although the skill that I ended up in was not the one I wanted to be in.
Okay. Where did you go for, when were you inducted?
In August the 8th, 1989.
Where'd you go for basic training?
Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Those first few days, what was going through your mind? What was it like? Was it what you expected?
Actually, it wasn't exactly what I expected, because I thought it was going to be a lot harder than it was, because I had someone who told me it was, and they was training me and running me up and down hills and running me.
Okay.
So it wasn't as hard as I thought. I knew it was really about just kind of teamwork, so that part I expected was there, but the hard work as far as the extra training physically wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Were you in good shape?
I was all right for my age.
What was the makeup of your training class? Was it mostly white? Were there a lot of other African Americans, or the minorities?
Actually, it was basic training was kind of a cultural experience for me, because being from Kentucky, and at the time it was a lot of Indian people in Frankfort, but as far as Mexican and Dominican Republic and people from the islands, it was kind of a mash of different cultures when I went to basic training. So it was a good experience with me, also with the fact there was a lot of people from different cities, and their culture being from a bigger city that they brought along was a big experience for me.
Did everyone get along?
Well, starting out, no, because it was too many personalities and too many individuals coming together, and we had to mash together and become a team.
Okay. So when you finished basic training, what was your next move? What did you get from there?
When I finished basic training, I went to AIT, which is the training and the MOS for the job that you're actually going to be dealing with, and I went to Fort Lee, Virginia.
How long were you there?
9 weeks.
Again, what was the makeup of your training class? Was it a cultural mix?
It was still a mix, and it was also male and female this time doing the class, so it was kind of going from being with females for 8 weeks and then integrated with males and females for another 9 weeks. So I had a lot of other things flying around there too.
Okay. Well, what did your family think of you going into the military?
Well, they supported me, but they didn't want me to go. But if the whole time when I was in the military, I mean, I always got letters. And although we wasn't actually supposed to until like our last couple of weeks doing basic training, I've always got care factors, so I've always had a strong support from my family.
What about your friends? Any of them? Did you get talk to any of them when you came home on leave, maybe that first time or anything?
Well, when I came on leave, I had, I think just before it was time for me to go to the next phase of my classes, I came home for Christmas. So everybody kind of had a break during Christmas. I came home for Christmas, so it was like, I was pretty much reunited with all my friends.
Okay. So when did you finish AIT?
I finished AIT, I want to say it was at the end of December, maybe the first week of January. I can't actually remember. Now I had to go back to Fort Dix for another 5 weeks for training.
This is 89?
It would have been 90.
90, okay. Were things going on dealing with the Middle East? Was there tension, were you aware of anything at that point?
No.
Or still hadn't kind of gotten to the point where?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
What? So you had to go back to?
I went back to Fort Dix for 5 weeks for training.
More
and
training.
Then from there, I went to my first duty station, which was in Germany.
What base?
I was at Fliegerhorst in Hanau, Germany.
Okay. Now what was Germany like? Did you get to get out and see the city
yes.
and meet some of the people?
Yes, I did.
What were
Germany?
What was your impression?
Well, the thing about Germany, although I couldn't really understand the language at the time, I didn't really feel that there was a lot of I didn't feel anything as far as my color really mattered much. You know, I didn't really feel that. Of course, if you go to different places, you know, military with the uniform, there might be some type of reaction. But as far as just being in regular civilian clothes, I didn't really feel any racial tension. And I don't really want to use racial because it's really social or not. So that's why
okay.
I don't want to
okay.
use, say race. So
were there black Germans?
I don't know if they was actually Germans or if they was actually
people
African. I think they were actually African. And I came across a lot of actual Africans that lived there, or they might have been from England.
Mm-hmm.
And there could have been what they call, and it's probably not a good term, but what they call war babies, where they were, right.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of interracial relationship children there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really say, I'd say they was either English or they was actually African, the ones that actually came in contact with.
Did you get to travel, see other countries while you were in Europe?
Yes.
What other places did you go?
My first tour, I think I went to Italy. Of course, I went to a lot of different places. Well, I was in Germany twice.
Okay.
So just this tour, you mean a combination?
Just
of
this. We'll
okay.
get to the next
okay.
one.
Okay, all right. I went to Italy, I remember, and then I guess during most of that time, by then we had went to, end up going to Saudi, so it was kind of a big break. But I went to a lot of different towns because you can get in the car and drive and be in the next little city over. So I did a lot of traveling within Germany to different cities and stuff. So.
Did you meet any other people from Kentucky while you were over there, white or black, or any?
Yes. I did, and I get kind of confused. I think this was my, yeah, it was. I met a guy, he was actually from Louisville, his last name was Walter, so he was married, and, you know, we kind of discussed a few things, you know, do you know such and such, and back and forth, so I remember meeting him off the top of my head.
So, you're in Germany, and all of a sudden, something happens in Saudi Arabia. What? How did you get pulled into that? How did your unit?
Well, actually, they started sending people a little bit prior to that.
Okay.
So during that year, they kind of had talked about going training up and everything. And one of the attack helicopter units,
mm-hmm.
they was the first people to go. Actually, they got attached to another unit.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time, they were still part of our brigade or whatever. So we knew more than likely we'd be going next to support them. So actually, we was kind of just went through steps. We knew eventually it was going to be our time to go. So it was really no surprise. And being the fact that at the time the person that I was dating was in the unit in the attack talked to the battalion. He went first, so whenever they was ready to go, I was pretty much ready to go. Also.
Okay. Well, what were your thoughts? I mean, were you excited, worried?
Well, nervous? I mean, I was worried a little bit. I guess I didn't really get to those type of emotions or feelings until, you know, it got to the point where it was actually declared to be war and the different stages with that, and that's when but prior to, I didn't really see it that way.
So when did you head to Saudi? Or when did you get there?
It was right after Christmas, I believe. I'm not really sure. I want to say it was toward the end of December, it was in December, I know it was December
of 90. Okay.
Right. And I don't exactly remember the date, but it was after Christmas.
What is your unit? What was your
during unit? That time it was change name. I think it was at that time it was 9th of the 227th and okay. It was Aviation Support Battalion.
Okay. So what was your first impression of the Middle East?
Well, when I first got there, we went to this place. It was called, I think, Tent City, but it was really, really pretty. I mean, it had we was down by where they had all the ships. It was the port, and it had all the ships. I mean, the water was real blue, and we just looked out like it was never ending. And then we had all the sand. Of course, then you had the flip side where you seen the, I think it was during that time, I think we might have stopped at the airport, and then the bathrooms, of course, most in some European places where it's just more of an open space for you to go into. But other than that, the country itself was really, really nice. I mean, and then of course experience with, you know, the women kind of figuring out the ones that was either covered up or the ones that wasn't covered up and stuff. So it was definitely.
Well, what was there a difference?
Well, I think that the ones that are married might be the ones that aren't covered up and the ones that are single might be covered up. It might be the other way around, but it's something like that. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, how did it affect women, American women? Did you all have to act differently?
Well, they try to go through that part of saying we weren't supposed to drive, and then, but once we was pretty much separated from everybody else. I guess if they actually went into town, they would have to do certain things. Maybe the men would have to drive or something like that. But,
okay.
You know, they didn't really take over and make
changes.
Right, right.
Okay. So how long from the time you got there until the war actually kicked off? What long was it?
No, it wasn't. I want to say, was it Ramadan? Wasn't it during that time?
Yeah.
We was kind of thinking that because it was actually during that period and they was kind of going back and forth with that it was kind of estimating in our set. The soldiers always have their own little
schedule,
you know, of what we think is going to happen or what's going on because, you know, we're not going to actually get the real information. It's time for us to move or close to it. So we was just kind of thinking it would be toward after that period. And I think during that time was the time that probably got the coldest ever over
cold?
There. It was cold over there. And I was like,
I
think it got real cold during the day, too. I think it was an unusual year that time that it actually got cold.
Were you all prepared for that?
Well, we had everything. Okay. But it was still a surprise. So we was prepared.
The unit that you were in, it seems like you may have been pretty heavily involved in the movement and kind of maybe closer to the front than some people?
Well, I say in a sense we was because what I did was we recruited aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
When we supplied, I guess, with food and fuel and aviation parts. So pretty much we was the support for all the aviation. So we had a kind of, when everything actually did kick off, what we did was we were separated. And we had to kind of do what was called a forward area fueling point where the aircraft we would pretty much service anybody because we service people from Wyoming and anybody that pretty much came by that was from the National Guard. Right. So what we did is when it actually started, we'd be kind of middle ways. The aircraft would go out and do whatever they do, drop people off or do the medevac, whatever. They'd come to us refueling wherever they was. We pretty much had to go to that point and they had to know where we was so they'd come back to get fuel and go back forth. So our particular section did kind of move in that direction, so for our support.
So when
when it started? What was going through your mind? Were you guys ever in any danger? I know there's chemicals.
Right. Well, some of those scares came a little bit earlier when we was kind of, before we actually got to that point. Mm-hmm. Right, and where they did the scud set off, and we was like in mop suit for it seemed like hours at a time. And I think even one time we might have even had to, I know at one time we had to take the tablets and stuff, and then we had a female who I think was pregnant, but she hadn't actually got moved yet. And so, you know, being in the mop gear during that time was really hard because, you know, you didn't know how long you was going to be in the mop gear. You didn't know if it was real or whatever.
Right.
And another time when we actually moved out, when we moved out, I was with the unit and our patch was Spearhead.
Mm-hmm.
And we always moved out like in that direction, like in three, and like in the spearhead, like I can't, like
shape,
right. So, and when we moved out, it was like couldn't have on any lights. You just had to have on like it's called blackout lights. And so it's like completely dark, and you had to rely that the person in front of you was like, just, you know. So that was really scary because you didn't really know, and we was moving forward. And
any accidents?
I lost a trailer, but I don't think I had anything to do with it. But I can't really. But other than that, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, but it was just scary knowing that, you know, we was moving forward. There was no light. So, you know, once the light discipline thing, you know, you in that, you know that it's.
So serious.
Exactly. Okay.
So did everything go pretty smoothly as far as your operation? You guys didn't have any troubles?
Pretty much. I mean.
Mm-hmm. How many days or how long were you, once it started, were you all in it doing things, and then you get to a point where I guess it's pretty much over, and it was a ceasefire or?
Right. Well, the whole time I was pretty much separated in a sense from the rest of the company, because like I said, we did the refueling, so they was always flying. Mm-hmm. So even when, during the time I was separated, because we was doing that, and then once it was over, we were still separated because they had like a makeshift flying set up, so they were still coming in and out on that side. So there was a point, but we still kind of did everything right, just at a different type of, I guess, level.
Once it began, I guess, there's no such thing as a work schedule, or were you working shifts, or? Were you pretty much on the clock all the time?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, for the most part. I mean, you know, where I was, everybody was pretty much, other than the fact that if you were scheduled to do guard duty or to do KP or whatever, other than that, I mean, pretty much it wasn't really, no.
No downtime.
No.
You had to be ready at any time. Okay.
Pretty much.
After the ceasefire was declared, what did you all do? Or I'll put it like this, what happened afterwards? I mean, did you all leave immediately?
No.
Did you have to kind of hang around?
I think we was over there for a while. I can't really remember exactly, but I'm sure we was, because like I said, they still had those aircraft flying. All the aircraft was flying when we was over there working. So,
well, where did you go when you did leave there? Did you get to come home for a while?
No. I went back to Germany because I was actually stationed in Germany. I went from Germany to Saudi,
back to Germany. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And continue that much.
So this was March, April, 91?
Well, I got back in May, I believe.
Okay.
Right.
Just kind of back to what you were doing before. Everything goes back to normal. How long were you there?
It was almost 6 months.
So you came back the end of 91. Where did you go?
I went
back to the States?
No.
Or from Germany?
Yeah, I went to Germany and I finished out my tour there because I had 2 years over there and I was in my first year during that time.
Okay.
So
okay.
I went and completed out my tour of Germany.
All
right. Got married. So.
Service?
Yes.
From Kentucky?
No.
Okay, so after you did your 2 years in Germany, where did you go from there?
To Fort Hood, Texas.
Did you get to come back home?
Oh, actually, I took leave. We took leave, I guess, that summer, later on that summer, I came home on leave. Yeah, I did come home on leave, but it was after, I mean, it was later on in the summer, I don't know, like July or something. I mean, it wasn't like I went from there to leave. I guess it just seemed like a long time. But I did go on leave after I had went to Saudi.
Was that your first time in Texas?
Yes.
Well, what did you think of Texas?
Texas is very different and very, very, very big. It was different from being in Germany. And I guess as far as being in Germany, everybody's a little closer as far as military. Because, you know, everybody kind of acts as each other's family when you're in Germany, you know, kind of eat together, holidays,
right.
You know. When I went to Texas, it was a little bit different. There was a lot more people. It was a change to be first, to be, I guess, stateside, being in the military. So it was different for me.
And
different
this was
cultures.
92?
I'd say it was 92.
Did you get to get out and travel around Texas? What cities were you close to?
I was close to Austin. I went to Austin. I think we went to Houston and we went to Dallas.
Now, did you have to reenlist at this point, or were you still your initial term?
No,
service?
Actually, I was, no, because I signed up for 4 years, so
okay.
I was still in my first term. I reenlisted actually in Texas. That's
what made
I,
you reenlist?
Well, at the time, I enjoyed the military. I mean, I was advancing pretty good, and I had.
What was your rank at that point?
I was E4.
Which is?
Specialist.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay.
So, as far as I was enjoyed it, I think I probably had started taking some classes and kind of just doing stuff to kind of get ready to go to the next level, which would have been the board and so on and so forth. So I decided, and not only that, you know, at the time my husband was in the military, so we kind of was on like a little plan of what we were going to actually do. So that's all of that kind of
together.
Yeah.
Did your husband, was he still in Germany? Did he come back?
No. Well, actually, I PCS just before him, and he came there after me.
So how long were you at Fort Hood, Texas?
Probably about a year. I mean, roughly. Maybe a little bit over that. And then I actually reenlisted to go back to Germany. The training was very, I didn't really like the type of unit I was in. So I could have stayed there, but the type of support mission that they was doing, I didn't like it. Because I really didn't like my MOS, but what I had been doing previously, you know, I liked, but what I was doing then, I didn't like. So
you reenlisted, and that allowed you to get different
right,
training?
Right.
What did you
do? No, I didn't get different training. What I did is I went back to Germany.
Okay.
So I could leave that unit.
I was,
and I kind of jinxed myself because I was in the first cab, and it's like, it has a horse on top, and it has like a black strip going, and I thought, oh, that's a really nice patch. Somebody was in Germany. And then when I got there, I ended up being in the unit. So it's like, they really, really, really train.
The first series.
Well, yeah. They do a lot of rotations at Fort Irwin, which is
California.
Right, desert.
So you had to go?
Yeah.
From Germany?
No, what do you mean? No. When I was at Fort Hood, they do a lot of rotations.
Those are the ones.
They do a lot of rotations out to Fort Irwin.
Okay, so you're trying to get away from that. Okay.
Right.
So you went back to the same base in Germany?
No, I went to Mannheim, and it was Spinelli. It was in Mannheim, Germany.
Okay.
That's where they have the correction facility there for the military.
Prison?
In Mannheim, yes.
What was it different this time over? This time back, or?
Yeah, it was different.
Different base?
Different base. It was in different base, different part of the Germany, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It was different.
Did you get to travel while you were over this time?
Yes.
Where did you go?
I went to French Riviera. Where else did we go? I went to Berlin. I went to Amsterdam. I went to somewhere else. We probably went to a lot of other towns around. It's kind of.
Did you pick up any other language?
No, I know bits and pieces of German, and that's about it. I mean, nothing fluently, no.
Okay. So this is 90?
I want to say 93, but I'm not really sure. I want to say 93.
How long?
92 or 93.
So how long did you stay for this tour?
Another 2 years.
Okay. And at this point, how long did you re-enlist for? Another 4 years, 3 years?
Another 4 years.
Were you thinking long term? Were you looking ahead? Did you want to stay in the military?
Yes, because by then I had already went to the board, and I was just, it was a matter of time to be chosen off the promotion list to actually become a sergeant. So.
Okay. So where did you go when you left Germany for this, from the second tour?
I went to Fort Riley, Texas. I mean, Fort Riley, Kansas.
Okay.
Kansas.
Well, you're laughing. What was Kansas like?
Well, I mean, I'm laughing. It really was a sad time for me, so. And if I get emotional here. But I was there probably, I wasn't there very long. Because during the time, in actually, in 94, my husband had got killed in a fire accident. So things kind of, instead of me taking time to get myself together, I kind of just kept on with my routines, and eventually it kind of overflowed.
Okay.
So.
So at what point did you go into the National Guard?
It was, I think it was in 96, the summer of 96, I want to say like July 96.
Okay.
Around
and so you were in Frankfort?
All right. I was in Frankfort. I was going to school, and I was trying to find out what my option was, because I really didn't feel like I needed to go in the National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it was like the education thing where I could
help in school.
Double dip. Where it was state and federal money that I was able to receive at the same time, which helped me to go and work part-time and concentrate on going to school. So it was benefit. It was really a good benefit for me.
What did you, in, when you joined, did you get rank?
No, I actually, I didn't get any extra rank, but it wasn't any time. It took a little while for me to actually start to advance. The National Guard is completely different for me. The National Guard was like, you know, I remember being in active duty, and we always kind of make fun every now and then when they'd come over and do a rotation, but the National Guard was completely different for me as far as the rank structure. It wasn't really as organized during the time that I came in as the active army, as far as, you know, it's based on your merit and not who you know. That was one thing that was different for me. Fact of as far as culturally, I mean, it was more Caucasian than it was African Americans, and most of the time, I mean, at the particular unit I was at the time, a lot of people from Louisville was coming up here to actually do their drill and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only African Americans that we'd be surrounded. But when we actually went out on, so we, where I was, we did, we do the, or I'm still there, we do the, we help maintain all the records in the state of Kentucky. All the soldiers in the state of Kentucky where their records are kept are here.
Okay.
And we help prepare those. So what we do is we go out and we make sure that life insurance is updated, emergency data card, and all the information in there, it's called a 201 file,
okay,
is updated. So whenever we went out, sometimes it depends on how we was actually grouped, that it was two African Americans, everybody else was Caucasian, or it might be one or two persons actually in that unit. And like as of right now, I've been, there's only two African Americans left in my unit. And
how many are in the unit?
In my particular unit, it might be roughly, I might be 70, 80. I'm just guessing off the top of my head. It might not be that many, but
okay.
I'm 50 is a good number, but it's a little bit more than that. And there's actually two African Americans at this time. And most of the time, we're separated. So I've been on many a records review where I'm the only African American.
Do you ever feel anything because of that?
Well, I guess I've always been kind of flexible, and I always consider myself as diverse. I mean, you know, I look around and, you know, I wonder why, and but yet I can understand, you know. So, you know, I ask that question, and I really don't have an answer for it. And what I've come to realize that a lot of African Americans are more likely to join the reserve versus the National Guard because they feel that it's just, I guess is a good word, or it's not a lot of upward mobility. Maybe that's a better word.
Okay. So you joined in 90, what year?
I want to say 96.
Okay.
I want to say 96.
And you've always been, where were you stationed? Here in Lexington, Frankfort, or
well,
where did
actually,
you work?
I actually worked in Frankfort. For 1 year, I was actually in Lexington, and at the time it was only just doing the weekends and 2 weeks out of the year. So but as of right now, I've been on like an active duty status for about a year now,
and
then working for the National
Okay
Department.
Now is that different from, so you're just, it's not active duty,
it's
active
not,
duty
it's not like the active army duty, but you get the same benefits. One is just the active army is basically supposed to be the federal funded, mm-hmm. under that. They mm-hmm. fall under a different title. I want to say it might be Title 10 is a different title, and what I actually fall under Title 32.
Okay.
And then you have other soldiers who are actually AGR. I'm not sure.
Well, what made you go active duty? Or did you have a choice?
Well, no, I had a choice. When I finished school, I was
what was your degree in?
Social work.
Okay.
When I had decided that I was going to move to Texas. I mean, I like Kentucky and everything, but I do not like the weather. I just stay cold, major. So I said, well, I'm going to be moving to Texas. I'm going to go and work this job for the summer. It's called JSO, Joint Support Operations, which they do drug eradication.
Is that military?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's a special program. So I said, I'm going to go work the job for the summer. I have extra money and I can move to Texas. It won't be a burden or anything. Well, I ended up doing that and I went to visit Texas and I figured it's just too big at the time. So, and I've kind of been like working on orders ever since then with them. So it worked out for my benefit, kind of helped me get organized and stuff. So,
do you plan to make a career?
Well, I have.
How much time?
I have 7 more years to go to actually get a retirement as a National Guard member. So it only takes 20. So I'm going to do 7 years regardless. And then, of course, once I get to that 7, I only have like 6 more, because then if I stay in the status I am now, which is actually, so I only have 6 more to go after that first 7 to get actually 20 years for active retirement. So if I get to 7 and I feel that I'm going to want to push for the other 6, then I might do that. But as of right now, I just want to get the 7 out of the way and have the first 20 and I'll make a decision.
And how old are you now?
35.
I mean, you'll be able to retire.
Yeah, but I mean, I was kind of old, I guess, I had my 22nd birthday when I was in basic training. So.
But still, that's going to be young.
Well, it is. It is. Well, yeah, it will be, but.
So, I guess we've covered brought it up to the present. What is your impression of the military? Do you think it is an equal opportunity place for the most part? What are your thoughts?
I think that the military is, I think it's a pretty good institution in some aspects. I mean, you can gain a lot of structure there. There's a lot of opportunities there. And it's a very good networking. The thing about it is that you yourself have to also be willing to to push a little bit and ask questions and kind of educate yourself, because you have to actually, they provide the skim of the information in some areas, and sometimes you have to go a little bit beyond and make sure when you meet people that you kind of talk to them and listen to them. I mean, you know, some stuff that people say have some meat to it, so you have to, right, so I think on that it's good. It has, like I said, it's good as far as structure, especially for, I think, and you know, I know a lot of people might disagree, in some instances a lot of males, it's kind of good if they did just went through that structure and kind of help kind of with the team building, so on that, and integrity, which is very important, something we lack.
Okay. Any other comments? Anything you'd like to say?
I think that there are still some obstacles for people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Probably as a whole, and maybe a little bit more of the National Guard. And there might be some monitoring going on. And that's not to say there's not going to be a loophole to still get around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what I do. You know, some things I have to do that I don't like, but at the same time, I know it's going to always be something like that I'm going to have to do that I don't like. I think that the Army can be a great institution for people to start out on. You know, it's not for everybody to do as a career, but it's also a good way to build a foundation and kind of help you to go into society and know, hey, I know where I came from and I know where I can go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it has a plus on that.
Well, this concludes our interview. I'd like to thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And I look forward to getting you an exhibit.
All right.
Thank you.